Warning, the following audio transmission will forever change your outlook on society. You will no longer believe the narrative. You are about to wake up and see things for what they really are. News, facts, and opinions. This is the Doom Daily Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Doom Daily Show. Today is Thursday, April 25th. Time is 23:05. The email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. For you guys, it's Friday morning. You got one more day before the weekend. Go to work, kick some ass, get yourself a coffee, get yourself some good breakfast, and just seize the freaking day because you're about to get that break we all crave. It's right there. It's almost within your grasp. It's right there. Go deal with that asshole boss for the day and just, you know, enjoy the weekend. You know, kick back around the fire and make some s'mores, have a beer, a couple shots of liquor. Fuck it. Just enjoy your time. I am, first off, I'm wanting to apologize to you, the listeners, and to producer Scooter because my wife is driving. I'm in the passenger seat. Kids are in the back, passed out, and we are flying down 79 South right now, doing approximately 66 miles an hour, heading home, okay, from our little excursion out of state. And I don't like having shitty audio when I do the show. I like to try to give you guys a really good listening experience. So you're going to get car horns and highway noise and cats getting ran over and weird things like that. So let me just apologize for that in advance. Okay, so there's like three things I like to have while I record the show. Well, four things. First off is I like to have privacy. I don't like anybody to watch me while I'm recording the Doom Daily Show. And I know that's so weird because the show gets put out there for the world to listen to. But I like my seclusion. I want to be able to let my creative juices flow without, like, listening ears and you know, staring eyeballs. That's just how I like to do it. And today I don't have that option. My kids are right here listening. So this episode might be turned down a little bit, like, with the profanity because of that reason. But we will see. There might also be some brief pauses in this audio while I'm grabbing the steering wheel trying to save our lives. Anyway, so yeah, lovely little trip we took over the weekend. You know, I get, let me go back to the things I need for this show, doing the show. Like, let me start there. Okay, so first off is privacy. Don't like people watching me record the show. Second is, I drink a lot of water while recording. So I like to have a fresh glass of ice water right there. And I drink a lot of water while I'm doing this show. And then I like to have my nicotine pouches, and I like to have utter total silence. That's why I go out and I record in the vehicle. I mean, I could go to the studio, but it's to the point now where I don't even know why I have the studio anymore because I'm not there. Like, the studio is there when I need to present the fact that I have a studio, and I'm in the studio. If somebody's coming over to be a guest and be on the other show, it's like, come to the studio. Or if, like, I got to do, like, a video show with somebody, you know, let me go down to the studio. And we have the studio. But for the most part, the show's recorded in my vehicle 100% of the time. Right? So, anyway, we did our trip. We're on our way back. And I overread situations a lot. Like, I read into things way too much. So I'll take a situation that's not very stressful and start thinking about the worst case potential outcomes, and my brain will gravitate toward those. And I'll get stressed out over something stupid that doesn't even matter. So there was a lot of stress that came with this trip, but ultimately at the end of the day, it turned out to be a good trip. We're on our way back now. I got to see one of my friends I haven't got to see in many years. I don't think I've seen him since 2021. And he's a good friend of mine I've known since 2009. And we share a very special bond that not most friends can share. And that bond, as morbid as this is, both of our mothers committed suicide. And, you know, not together, not in close proximity timeline wise, but that's what happened. So whenever his mom died, he reached out to me, and we were friends, we hung out, but I didn't understand why he was reaching out to me, because I didn't know his mother, I never met her, I didn't know her, I knew him. And I think that's what it was, because when I lost someone close to me, I only wanted to be around people who didn't know that person. Okay, so maybe that's why he reached out to me. And I didn't understand what he was really going through. And then when my mom committed suicide, it all kind of made sense of, you know, I started to understand what he was going through, the feelings he felt. And I think that we already had a strong friendship as it was, but this like kind of sealed that friendship. And I've watched the guy go through trials and tribulations over the years, and, you know, has now hopefully came out on top and will remain on top. But I got to go see him, and it was only for a short period of time. We got to go to dinner, we got to go do a touristy type thing, and you know, that was it. And even for that brief few hours I got to spend with him, not seeing him in so many years really made the trip for me. As we're getting closer and I'm looking at my wife, I'm telling her, like, man, I'm more excited to see him than anybody on this trip, as crazy as it sounds, just because I missed him. We talk on the phone and things like that, but you need that one-on-one human interaction that we're lacking in society. And society has really made, they're pushing it to where human interaction and just being able to shake someone's hand, give them a hug, they're making these things like inconveniences to you. Like, so many people enjoy the self-checkout so they don't have to deal with the person. I'm the complete opposite. I want to talk to somebody. I want to deal with the person. I want a hand-to-hand transaction. I don't want a machine playing a recorded message saying, thank you for shopping here and have a nice day. No, I want to, like, get to know Gladys, the checkout woman, because I want to be able to say, hey, Gladys, how's your day going? And if she says, great, Doom's awesome, Gladys, glad to hear it. If she says, Jester, my day sucks, my husband's an asshole, I want to say, Gladys, you need to leave that shit bag, and that's the end of it. Anyway, we'll be right back after these messages.
Can't get enough of Jester Dooms? Check out his other show, It's Doomsday Podcast, available on all podcast platforms. That's It's Doomsday Podcast.
Back to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Doom Daily Show. Okay, so this, I have not pre-read this article, so we're going to jump into this and we're going to see how this goes. I just have a feeling it's going to be wildly entertaining. Vice President Harris hosts Kim Kardashian to discuss criminal justice reform. Okay, now before we really get into this article, do know that I believe it was Kim and Kanye that were doing a lot to try to get pardons for people that were in prison and trying to get things overturned for people years ago. They started taking an interest in this, and I don't know if it's kind of her trying to skate off her father's claim to fame, because her father, the attorney Kardashian, was involved in the OJ trial, and now maybe he just died. She sees a little bit of limelight out there, so it's like, well, let's do some things. And Harris, in my opinion, is just a jackwagon. She's an idiot. I can't stand listening to her talk. It's like, when she talks, you know she knows that she's full of shit. Like, she knows that you know that she's bullshitting. Anyway, here we go. Okay, on the Epic Times. Vice President Kamala Harris hosted reality television star Kim Kardashian at the White House on Thursday to discuss criminal justice reform after the Biden administration granted clemency to people convicted of nonviolent drug offenses. Now, here's the thing with the nonviolent drug offenses. I get it, okay? You get busted with a little bit of pot, slap on the wrist, go home type thing. But what a nonviolent drug offense can fall into so many different categories, okay? You could have nonviolently surrendered, and they could have nonviolently confiscated a bunch of crack cocaine. And you could have just been in possession of it. So, I mean, okay, let's let the crackheads go. Whatever. On Wednesday, President Joe Biden granted clemency to 16 people, pardoning 11 of them and continuing the sentences of the other five, Four of the four represents join Thursday's event. All right, so I guess four of these guys shut up. Everybody makes mistakes, and for some that might rise to the level of being a crime, Mrs. Harris said at the White House, but it is not the sign of a civil society that we allow people a way to earn their way back and give them the support and the resources that they need to do that. Okay, so if my reading sounds a little jacked up, the car's bouncing up and down, I'm trying to hold the cell phone and read the article at the same time. So bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. Mrs. Harris, a former prosecutor, planned to announce the finalization of a Small Business Administration rule that will remove most restrictions on loan eligibility based on a person's criminal record, White House officials said. Ms. Kardashian, who was also an entrepreneur, first became a vocal activist for criminal justice reform during former President Donald Trump's administration. Ms. Harris praised her work, which is funny because I remember people in the media being like, I can't believe they're going to Trump for things, what a bunch of dickheads, blah 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 blah. But okay, whatever, Ms. Harris, like I said, she knows, we know she's full of shit. Every time I've gone and visited a prison, I've met some of the smartest individuals with the brightest ideas, and to see the changes that are happening to make their re-entry easier, I think this is going to be life-changing, said Ms. Kardashian. Since taking office, President Joe Biden has commuted the sentences of 122 individuals and granted pardons to 20 individuals who committed nonviolent drug offenses. The White House said in December, President Biden granted pardons to thousands convicted of use of simple possession of marijuana in Washington and on federal lands. Last month, Ms. Harris convened a roundtable with people pardoned for marijuana offenses with rapper Fat Joe. So, in my opinion, for old Joey being in there for 4 years, I feel like this is very small. I don't think this is a big, great feat. 122 people, like, that's not really that big of a deal. And granted pardons to 20? You're not even batting a good average here. I mean, I'm not saying anybody else did any better, and I'm not going to compare numbers on people, but to me, this is just something that you're kind of doing in the background. Who cares? But you know what it is? And this is what it is. They need good publicity for this re-election. And what's better publicity than having Kim Kardashian on your side? That's about the best thing you could do for yourself in this current moment, because you're fucking everything else up. Like, the country's in the shitter. But my mentality on this, I still stand by this. Joey doesn't have any control. Joey doesn't know what's going on. Someone else is pulling the strings. And Joey's just getting up there like the puppet that he is. And basically, he's just going along for the ride. He doesn't know. They're feeding this man ice cream, a shot of epinephrine every now and again to get him to speak right. I mean, this guy is screwed. He probably doesn't even know he's president. I mean, they probably have to wake up and remind him, sir, you have to take your slippers off and put your shoes on. And he's probably over there mumbling, well, why do I got to do that? You're the president. Oh, I am? Oh, okay, let's go do stuff. I imagine that's how a day in the life of Joe Biden goes. But, you know, let's break this down. Is it good to give people a pardon for, like, marijuana possession? Yeah, absolutely, because so many people have been, you know, incarcerated in the system due to these low-level offenses, and not to mention it's being legalized so much now, and it's becoming the norm so much that I can't imagine taxpayers being happy because someone got busted with an eighth of weed. Like, think about that for a second. This guy, we're gonna pick somebody out of the air here, call him John. So John likes to get a little high on the weekends, maybe when he's not at work, you know, the wife's at work, and maybe he has a day off, he wants to go outside and pack a bong, and he wants to get a little high, all right? But John pays taxes, he treats his kids good, his mortgage is paid, whatever, he just likes to smoke a little pot. Who fucking cares? And you're gonna use taxpayer dollars to go after this man, convict this man, and then you're going to use taxpayer dollars to keep him incarcerated while the man was being a contributed member of society and paying taxes. Now, I know not everybody falls into that category, but that could happen to John, it could happen to you. Okay? So I think it's very counterproductive to put any functioning member of society behind bars for any kind of low-level crime. And, you know, the reality of this is sometimes people are just down on their luck, or they make a bad decision and they end up getting their ass put in a sling. And if it's a nonviolent crime, if it is like a simple possession crime, if it's a crime that didn't really hurt anybody, and, you know, it's a crime that was like not threatening, it's not something that would be a repeat offense, I really can't see incarcerating people on taxpayer dollars, especially with the technology we possess today, and you could monitor people super easy on house arrest and not have to pay all this crazy money out from taxpayers to keep these people in the system, right? It makes no logical sense anymore. If you're a violent person, if you're, you know, a rapist or a killer, or, you know, you hurt kids or stuff like that, yes, put that fucker in prison and leave his ass in there. But if you got busted with a little pot, if you accidentally shot the wrong deer, if you got caught fishing without a license, or, you know, anything to these simple crime effects, who fucking cares? And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Jester from It's Doomsday Podcast and the Doom Daily Show here. Do you ever find yourself overloaded with way too much information? Too many logins, too many passwords, too many websites for stuff you like? Yeah, I'm the same way. You don't have to worry about that with the Doom Daily Show and It's Doomsday Podcast. Let's make it simple. Just visit linktree.com/JesterDooms. Add it to your bookmarks. That way, when you need to find the right information, it's right there, under a tap of your finger or a click of your mouse. Go to linktree.com/JesterDooms. Get it, got it, done. Remember, no one has all the answers, but this will provide you with a place to start. linktree.com/JesterDooms.
And now, on with the conversation. And here's Jester.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Doom Daily Show. The email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. Now, we're going to get into a topic that we've been kind of beating up periodically every week, and we're going to get back into it today because there's a new article on the Epoch Times that came out today. And I wanted to let you know that you're not alone. Okay, so new poll shows high percentages of Americans support mass deportation of illegal immigrants. All right? More than half of Americans, including 42% of Democrats, said that they would support mass deportation of illegal immigrants, according to a new Axios Vibes poll released on Thursday. The online survey also found that 46% of Republicans and 30% of Democrats said that they would end birthright citizenship guaranteed under the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. The Harris poll conducted surveyed 6,251 adults between March and April of 2024. I was surprised at the public support for large-scale deportations, Mark Penn, chairman of the Harris poll and pollsters for former President Bill Clinton, told them. Participants included Republicans, Democrats, and independents across multiple generations. From baby boomers to Generation Z, the poll has a margin for error of 1.5 percentage points. According to the poll, the majority of those surveyed said the Biden administration is most responsible for the immigration crisis over any other political or structural factor. I don't think they're just sending a message to politicians. Get this under control, Mr. Penn said, adding that Americans are warning President Joe Biden that efforts to shift responsibility for the issue to Trump are not going to work. Okay, now, you cannot shift anything to Trump because Trump is no longer in office. And Trumpy Trump wanted to build the wall while these fuckers wanted to tear it down. So Trumpy Trump was working on trying to fix the border. And if you happen to have forgotten, we had mass amount of immigration issues with when Barack Hussein Obama was in office as well. But here's the thing that they won't tell you. Freaking Obama was deporting people as well, and actually quite a few. Now, we've talked about what the actual numbers are of a mass deportation. We've talked about this before, and we're not going to really go down that road of talking about it again. But I was sitting down with my buddy while I was in town here, and we had a little conversation about the immigration policy. And, you know, this is like one thing that sticks out in my mind is we do not have the infrastructure to support a whole nother country inside of this one. And I know you're thinking, oh, well, there's empty houses out there. There's this, there's that, there's whatever. Okay, this may be true, but what you got to also understand is that, okay, we have trucks running 24/7 to meet demands for supplies, for goods, to keep the infrastructure going right now with the population we possess in this country now. You double that, you're going to have double the trucks on the road. That's double the diesel being used. That's double the car accidents. That's double the emergency services that you need. You're going to have to double down on everything to support this mass immigration. And we're already seeing the effects of this now. So what happens when, say, your population in your town doubles due to mass immigration? Are you still going to get bread? Are you still going to get groceries? Or is traffic going to go to shit because you have all these extra semis on the road in your area supplying these goods? Are we going to have to get more shit from China because we don't have any of our own goods grown here anymore? What is going to be the initial outcome? Do we have the infrastructure to support it? And the answer is a big, overwhelming no. We don't. Okay? And you have some people out there that might argue the other way and say, oh, we've got plenty of extra stuff. Just go and look at the shelves. How long do you think that's going to last? How long till you think a wrench gets thrown in the gears and that gets fucked up? So we get into World War III, all right, and we have to start shipping supplies overseas, and they start drafting people, and the immigrants start showing up who are not getting drafted because we don't know they're here, and we don't even know where to send draft paperwork to. So let that sink in. Let that aspect of it all, just take it all in. You're going to take American citizens, draft them, send them overseas to go fight these wars while the country gets taken over by illegals. Huh. That almost sounds like it's by design. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
If you like hard-hitting news and up-to-date explosive investigations, well, you better look elsewhere. Check out the Beans and Weenie Show is Doomed most Saturday nights at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time on Rumble and Podbean. You are listening to the Doomed Daily Show.
And we're back on the Doomed Daily Show. So, okay. Now, we're going to go down a little bit of a road here. I have yet to talk about this really on the show, this particular issue. We've bounced around it, but okay, article on Epoch Times, flooding U.S. with fentanyl is part of China's unrestricted welfare. Okay, so let's get into this. Commentary on this. Fentanyl, a powerful synthetic opioid, is linked to nearly 100,000 deaths annually in the United States, surpassing the fatality toll of many historical conflicts. On April 17th, a significant U.S. Congressional hearing was convened to scrutinize the role of the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, in this crisis. Central to the inquiry is whether the CCP's involvement stems from negligence or a deliberate strategy to allow substantial quantities of fentanyl in the United States. During a segment on the program, Pinnacle View, independent producer Lee Jun discussed the ongoing congressional investigation. The hearings collectively titled Defending America from the Chinese Communist Party's Political Welfare suggested a multifaceted strategy by the CCP that extends beyond conventional military engagements. The day prior to the hearings, the U.S. House Select Committee on strategic competition between the United States and the Chinese Communist Party released a damning report and highlighted the CCP's possible engagement in a so-called drug war by facilitating the prolification, I got it, ladies and gentlemen, of fentanyl in America. Chinese leader Xi Jinping, you know who I'm talking about, Xi Jinping, public statements on the fentanyl issue contrast sharply with the reality depicted in the report, which indicates worsening conditions. The U.S. has gathered alarming evidence that underscores the severity of the issue. Okay, the first piece of evidence comes from the investigations revealing that the CCP currently provides export subsidies to fentanyl manufacturers, which is quite alarming. While the CCP strictly controls fentanyl domestically, its export policies are lenient and it even offers subsidies. U.S. investigation found that these subsidies have given businesses more confidence with exports increasing by more than tenfold, Lee said. Okay, so check this out. Not only are they getting this over here, they're encouraging businesses to send this over. Now, we do use fentanyl in the medical industry, okay? It is something that's used, but it is something that is highly abused, all right? And it is being put in so many drugs out there, you're coming in contact with this all the time. So much so that a lot of law enforcement agencies and EMS agencies, not only are they carrying fentanyl-proof gloves, but they're also carrying naloxone, which is the name of Narcan. They're carrying Narcan. Now, this is something that has been scaring the shit out of me. So, ladies and gentlemen, first off, not to give medical advice, but I'm going to tell you what. If you see somebody that's ODing on fentanyl and you give them some Narcan, it's just an opioid inhibitor. Eventually, it's going to wear off and they're going to go back into ODing again. You got to get them to the hospital. You still have to call 911. That Narcan, giving them that is not a cure-all. You have to give them the Narcan. If they're not breathing, get them to the fucking hospital, call EMS, you have to do something, because just giving them that dose of Narcan and waking them back up isn't going to do anything. Now, I've got Narcan in the car right now, all right? I have it in the vehicle right now, because this shit terrifies me, because I have these horrible thoughts of my kids come in contact with it, and then, you know, you can't see it, you don't know it's there. It's a very scary reality with this fucking fentanyl shit. And here's the thing. I have the wife has it at the restaurant. Okay? Because, you know, the kids are running around there. Maybe they grab a quarter that has fentanyl on it. And then they put it in the gumball machine. They pop a gumball in their mouth. And bam, they're ODing on the floor. There's, you know, very little time to save their life. Okay? So, you know, my wife has Narcan at the restaurant. So, in my eyes, this is a bigger problem than what they actually shed light on. If you can get your hands on some Narcan, get it, because it might not be some druggie's life you're saving that's passed out on the side of the road. It might be your children's. So get the Narcan. Have that shit. Like I said, if the police have it, it's something you want. If they're coming in contact with it enough, that's something you definitely need. And I understand they're first responders, which essentially means they're the first one there and might have to deal with the situation, and that's why they have it. But that doesn't mean you're going to be the first person that encounters it. It doesn't mean you're not going to be the first person that encounters it, right? So if you can get your hands on it, get trained on it, know how to use it, and don't watch some stupid video, talk to a medical professional about how to administer this and what to look for, things of that nature, okay? Moving on with this, you know, you kind of have to wonder to yourself why China is wanting to pump so much fentanyl in the U.S., and I think back to, my mind goes to very devious circumstances. You get enough of it here. You could put it in a food supply. You could wipe out an entire population. You get it, you get it in something people consume. You're going to fuck a lot of people up. So, I mean, to an extent, you could consider this kind of a chemical warfare, if that is what their true intent is. And I mean, why would you incentivize companies to do this? Unless you had an ultimate purpose of getting so much fentanyl into the U.S. And that's the only thing that makes sense. Why else would you be, like, cutting breaks and giving subsidies to businesses that are shipping this over? It's very freaking scary, okay? So, I've been preaching for years now that, you know, when we get into this war with China, that's going to be our biggest threat. They're going to starve us out. They're going to do whatever they can to get rid of most of the population and then, you know, simply slide in here and take this place over. And, you know, let's hypothetically say we get into this world war, we draft the majority of our male fighting youth, you know, young enough to fight, you know, we draft them, we send them overseas, we deplete those fighting numbers here. All right, we're now overrun with illegals that are coming in here fucking our shit up. China wipes out a bunch more people, and then they send everybody over here to start making the deportation happen. Because if you don't think the Chinese are coming across the border illegally too, you're crazy. They absolutely are. People are coming across that border from all over the world. They don't want to tell you that though. They want to make it seem in the media like it's just people coming from Mexico, and it's not. There's people coming up from all over the world, and a lot of Chinese males that are of military age, military fighting age. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is very freaking scary. And I'm going to tell you what, this shit is going to go off like a fucking stick of dynamite. You're going to be sitting there, shit's going to be silent, and then boom, overnight, shit's going to hit the fucking fan. And we're all going to be sitting there wondering what happened. And then Joey's going to be up there like, oh, we need to work a deal with China. So we're going to give them, we're just going to give them the state of Texas. Like some bullshit he's going to pull. And then he's going to have Americans at each other's throats. Because you will still, because people, you have people out there that are so freaking brainwashed. They'll hang on every man this word, every word this man says they'll hang on. He could tell you we're now selling plane tickets to the moon and that there's been a population up there for years and we need to start inhabiting it more. Or something even more realistic that Joey would say, hey, the moon needs aid. We're going to send $100 billion to the moon because the moon's at war with Saturn and Mars is supporting Saturn and we got to help them fight back. So we're just going to send $100 billion to the moon. And you have Americans that are gullible enough that they will actually believe that. And you know it, like you're sitting there like, no way, Jester. But in the back of your mind, you know it's true. You know it's true. Anyway, guys, I'm getting out of here. Enjoy your weekend. I will see you back here on Monday morning on the Doom Daily Show. Scooter, thank you for editing this episode late night, man. I greatly appreciate it. Once again, before we're out of here, the Doom Daily Show, we have an email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. Drop me a line. Find me everywhere on social media at Jester Dooms. I'll be looking for you. And if you haven't got your tickets to Prep Stock, ladies and gentlemen, get them before they're gone. PrepStock.net. And with that, I'm out of here. Have a great weekend.
News, facts, and opinions. This is the Doom Daily Show.